Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and in this episode, I have a special guest with me, and I'm talking about my recent experience with Museum of the Bible. So I had a privilege of going to the Museum of the Bible in Washington, D.C. this past weekend for a pre-launch event for social media influencers. And so it was a great experience. I'm excited to share about it with you. And I have a special guest with me in this episode, and it is my wife, Katie. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thank you.
So this is Katie's first podcast ever, the first time on this podcast.
It's my first podcast ever
with anybody. And you've probably never even listened to a podcast before.
I listen to yours.
No, you don't.
Sometimes.
Have you ever listened to a podcast?
Yes, okay. I have.
Okay. Well, I kind of believe that, but we're not here to argue about whether you listen to the podcast or not. Quick question, Lakers or Spurs?
Spurs.
Easy, Jay or Nils?
Nils.
Okay, good. Team Nils, just want to make that clear. Even though Jay is no longer on the podcast, it's important to pick favorites between Jay and I. So we're talking, though, about Museum of the Bible, and we went on Friday, and we took our kids for 4 hours to Museum of the Bible. Mm-hmm. If you could describe your experience, Katie, at Museum of the Bible, what one word would you use to describe it?
One word?
Yeah.
Okay. I would say engaging.
Engaging. Good word. Mm-hmm. Good word. So my one word is excellent. Okay. I thought everything was excellent at the museum. So let's walk through our experience. So we show up. Mm-hmm. What was your first impression as you walked into the museum?
It was nighttime when we got there. Yep. So the outside was really pretty, the way they had it lit up, and it was really eye-catching. And it's kind of in a quieter part of the mall, and so it really stood out on the street, so I thought it was really pretty walking up. And then same thing when you walk in, they have this, I don't know how long it is, these LED screens that are on the ceiling.
Yep.
And they project different cathedral ceilings onto it.
Yep.
So it's really impressive when you walk in. Oh, but I think you're talking about when you, like, are you talking about the security when you come in?
I wasn't even thinking about the security. I was thinking the same thing as you. But let's talk about the security, because that was also interesting.
That was, like, security I've never seen before.
Yeah. So even the security was excellent.
Yeah. So you put your things in these little cubes, these pods.
Yeah.
And so you can put it in a, if it's green, you can put your stuff in it.
Yeah.
And then you go through the metal detector like a normal thing, and then you go to the other side, and then once it's green again, you can take your stuff out. So I guess they scan it or, I don't know what they do to it in that little pod, but it turns red and green.
Yeah.
And we passed the test, so I guess that was good.
Yeah, it had a little conveyor belt on the inside. I've never seen anything like it. I forgot about that first impression with the security. It was almost like fun going through security. It was a little confusing
because it was nothing like futuristic.
Yeah, it's like the future of security. But then you go inside and go to the lobby and you talk about, like, the screens on the ceiling. I found out from somebody that works there, it actually takes 7 air conditioning units to cool down these screens. I mean, it just is massive wow factor.
And they're vibrant, too. They're bright. Yeah. They're detailed. Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah. So this is not intended to be a sales pitch for Museum of the Bible. It's going to be hard not to give it a sales pitch. Because it was such a cool experience, you know, across the board.
Wait, we're not getting paid for this?
We are not getting paid for this. there is no kickbacks from Museum of the Bible. We actually paid ourselves to go to Museum of the Bible to experience it. And so we had a blast, though, at the event. So let's talk about, we took kids. We have a 5-year-old and an 8-year-old, 2 girls. Mm-hmm. And I remember asking in advance, should I bring my kids? Should I not? They're like, oh, bring your kids. I was like, it's a museum. I don't know if this is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. And it was at night.
And it was at night, yes. Yeah, so 6 p.m. to 10 p.m.
Kids in a museum at night when they're tired.
Yeah. So what parents that are listening to this, thinking about going to the museum, should they take their kids? Should they not? What's your take?
100% they should take them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and our kids hadn't eaten dinner either. So it was nighttime. They were tired and they hadn't eaten dinner. And we stayed from 6 to 10, and I think they could have gone until 11 or 12 at night. Yeah. They had so much fun.
Yeah, the kids loved it. I mean, honestly, our kids are spoiled. We live here in New York. our daughter on Thursday went to the Museum of Natural History here in New York.
For a field trip.
For a field trip at school. Then on Fridays at the Museum of the Bible. And then on Saturdays at the Spy Museum there in D.C. Kind of spoiled. If you were to ask her which is her favorite museum, I think without question she'd say Museum of the Bible.
Yep.
And that's just coming out of how much fun she had at the museum. They do have this unbelievable kids area. It's crazy, fun, exciting for the kids. But they even have this little pond thing that you can like, it's like a projector pond where the fish move when you step on them. Yeah. It really was fun. I will say this though, that while I think you should take your kids, I think they should experience it. I have no doubt that it, especially there's one floor where you get to like walk where Jesus walked, you know, or experience like what it's like. To be there. And there's this film too from the New Testament. I hear there's an Old Testament film. We weren't able to watch that. But it captured the story so well also. So I know for our 8-year-old in particular that it has already kind of stirred some conversations about the Bible. But I will say I would like to go back without the kids.
Yeah.
So while I'm so glad the kids went, there's a lot of things I wanted to see. They said that the museum would take you something like 9 days, 9 8-hour days if you were to read every single word or presentation in the museum. So you can't look at it all in one viewing. But I would like to have a day with the kids. And we could have gone 8 hours with the kids there.
Yeah, I think so. I was worried when we went to the children's area, they loved it so much they didn't want to leave. There were slides, yes. And there's this thing where you can do a slingshot and hit Goliath and all of that. So it was just really fun and engaging for them and bright colors and all that. So I was afraid once we got out of the kids' room that everything was going to go downhill. But actually, they had just as much fun in the rest of the museum. But yeah, you're right. I would like to go back without them because I feel like we saw it through their eyes.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see it for ourselves in some ways.
Yeah, totally. And just move a little slower. But I will say that even, I mean, to your point, the kids area, the kids did not want to leave the kids area. We could have left them in there for another hour or two and they would have had a blast and still probably not even done everything in the kids area. But we were there 4 hours with the kids and we could have been there a lot longer. And they never once got bored. We, in many ways though, just, we were trying to take in everything and we couldn't do it in 4 hours. So you can't, it's worth the trip even if you only have 4 hours, but I think this is a full day, if not a couple of days, to experience the museum. I mean, it's so big. It's 6 floors. Katie, I'm curious, was there one or two things in the museum that were your favorite experiences?
Yeah. So I think one of my favorite rooms was, and I don't know the actual name for it, but it was how the Bible is impacting culture in our current society. And they had different designers, like fashion designers, clothes and shoes and things like that from, Dolce & Gabbana, Jean-Paul Gaultier, all of those that use religious symbols in their fashion. And that's not something I was expecting to see at Museum of the Bible. I was expecting a lot of history or kind of a walk through the Bible, that kind of stuff. But this kind of brought it into modern day to see how the Bible impacts and influences a whole lot of different things in our lives. And so I thought that was a really interesting, creative way to bring that in.
Yeah, that was cool. With that, one of the things that we talk about, virtual reality and augmented reality a lot on here, we got to play with this one device in there where you got to kind of in the fashion area where you could design your own augmented reality shirt on you, like you're wearing it while you're designing it. And so that was kind of a fun experience. The kids had a lot of fun with that exhibit within, you know, that area. So, yeah.
And I also liked, I work for American Bible Society.
Yeah.
So seeing American Bible Society represented in a few different areas, talking about their Bible translation work and how American Bible Society came into kind of the history of the Bible in America. I thought that was really cool that they highlighted something that I am passionate about.
I think it's fascinating to step back from the Bible and just see the history, you know, and so you see that a lot with your work at American Bible Society of the 200 years, you know, that organization has right. been impacting America and beyond around translations and Bible development.
And the military impact they've had. They have the longest standing military ministry.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
In the United States, yeah.
And I think to see that documented, you know, in this museum was great. The room that stands out to me is the Illuminations Room.
Yeah,
that was very really closely cool. tied to what your work is at the American Bible Society. What really caught my attention with that room is it's amazing to see the Bible translated in so many languages and to know that and to even know that what's happened with digital Bible, what YouVersion has done through those efforts, but also to see that we think that everybody has access to the Bible, how many languages the Bible is not translated into yet. That room really visualizes that. It's like, man, this is amazing how far we've come, but it's also amazing how far we still have to go. And so that room really displays what's still needed for the Bible to go further. There's a lot of people that can't get access to the Bible yet.
Right. I mean, when you looked at it all lined up on those shelves, I mean, it was just a small percentage that was actually fully translated, which I had no idea. And then to see all that was left to do, and then to know that their goal is to have it all done by 2026.
Yep.
It's a huge goal, but yeah. I mean, it's a God-sized goal. And so I know it's going to happen. And yeah. so when you see it visually like that and know that that's what God's about to do,
yeah.
it was a really cool way to see all of that.
Yeah. You know, my understanding is the week before we were there, that a group gathered there in that Illuminations Room and committed $50 million to Bible translation. And so it's happening and it's real. The impact that's happened is very real, and the impact that's happening is very real, and to have that displayed visually and to know that those things are going to be updated. And so the next time we go back, that room's going to look a little different than it does today. Yeah. Is very exciting. Honestly, there were so many elements of the museum that we just weren't able to see everything. Like we're going to have to go back and see so much or we just rushed through.
Yeah. And also some of it wasn't ready yet.
Yeah.
They weren't able to have every single exhibit open. So I know there's a lot. We tried to at least peek into everything, but there were some that weren't quite ready yet. So we still have probably a good 2 or 3 days worth of stuff to see in there.
Yep. And we got to peek in, too. They were doing a rehearsal in their theater, which is amazing and beautiful. But they have Amazing Grace, the show, I guess. Could you call it a show?
Yeah, it's a Broadway musical that's going to be going on in their theater.
Yeah.
It opens next week when the museum opens. But we got to see their rehearsals in there.
Right.
So I think that's going to be another powerful part of the museum.
Yep. So I cannot wait to see everything that's there. I can't wait for other people to see it. Now, what I know, and we had Jeremy Burton here on the podcast to talk about it. So go back and listen to that episode because he gives a lot of background. But the museum is way more than just the physical museum there in DC. They've got, you know, social media presence and engagement. They're doing a lot of online engagement, a lot of curriculum they're developing out of that. So it's really cool, the various elements beyond the physical museum that is Museum of the Bible. So I love what they're doing. Gosh, I feel like there's so many things we can talk about. I think there's no question, you know, I was going to ask, like, would you recommend somebody go to Museum of the Bible? The answer to that is yes.
Yes. Right.
So, totally. So here's the question, Kitty, and you are a great trip planner, and you coordinated our trip and you got a hotel and a train, from New York to DC for us for the weekend. If you were to plan somebody's visit to DC, to go to Museum of the Bible, but go to DC in general, you know, so let's assume they've not even been to DC. How would you plan their vacation and how much time would you coordinate with the museum? What other things would you recommend seeing based on our recent experience?
Okay. Well, I have to point out first, I've only been to DC twice. So I'm sure there's people that know a lot more about it than I do, but, and obviously budget and all that kind of stuff plays a factor.
Say you have 3 days in DC.
Okay, 3 days.
And we're not talking about transportation, hotel. But I will ask about hotel. We stayed close.
Yeah.
Do you recommend that? All we know is staying close. So I don't know that we even know outside.
We don't know a whole lot of. Yeah, we stay kind of on the National Mall area. So the first time somebody gifted us with a hotel stay at JW Marriott, we did not stay there this time because we were paying. But JW Marriott is a definite. It's great because it's just a couple blocks away from the White House and the National Mall. It's a great location. This time we did a little Priceline, name your own price, and got the Liaison Capitol Hill. And that was actually.
It was great.
It was great. Yeah. It did not have the views like JW Marriott did. But it was only a block away from
the Capitol.
The Capitol.
Yeah.
And so you're just a block away from the National Mall, which is really, in my opinion, that's where you're going if you're going to go to Washington, D.C. And so we started at the Capitol this time and walked down the National Mall. And it was a cold day, but it was a really beautiful day. So we were able to spend some time outside. And just walking down toward the Washington Monument makes for some really pretty pictures and green open fields so the kids can just run and get some energy out, all of that.
Bring your walking shoes.
Yes, definitely. Definitely bring walking shoes. I would say if I were going for 3 days, I would probably spend a good day at the Museum of the Bible, if not a day and a half. And then we did the Spy Museum. I got a Groupon for that. So that's a good one. But the other museums are free.
Most of them.
A lot of them are. So I don't know if a lot of people realize that, but all those Smithsonian museums, they ask for a donation, so you can always, you know, throw a few bucks in there to help them out. But all of those are free. So we went to the Portrait Museum, which I wasn't sure about. So our waitress at lunch, we went to Succotash, which is a really good Southern food place. We had a really good like tasting menu of everything. Really good fried green tomatoes. Anyway, so she recommended the Portrait Gallery, and that was actually a lot of fun. They had a little kids area where they were able to draw and do some stamping and and that kind of thing, get creative. So I feel like I've gotten off track with your question, but I feel like there's just so much to do and so many really amazing museums that you can't go wrong. But honestly, and I know we're going back to this, but Museum of the Bible is always going to be one of my first stops now. Because...
And we have not, it's not like a box we checked off. This is something that we will go back, and every time we go to D.C., we'll spend a day, I think, at least.
Yeah, I think so. Because everybody was telling us afterwards, there's this whole Old Testament part, and you, it has this video, and you walk through it. Yeah, we didn't get to experience that, and that's something like 40 minutes, 40 to 60 minutes of this walk through the Old Testament that everybody was raving about. So I know that's something we want to do when we go back. There was another room that had like this Jeep in it, and it seemed like there was some kind of really cool movie going on, but we didn't have, that wasn't open to us at that point, then Amazing Grace. So, I mean, those three things that we just listed is a good 3-4 hours worth of stuff that we didn't even get to see yet.
Yeah, I mean, there's so much there to the museum. The other museum that we've been to in the past was the Air and Space Museum that I highly recommend. It was very cool. I hear a lot of great things about Newseum, and so that's the next time we go. We want to see. There's so many great museums, so many things to see. Walking by the White House, walking across the Capitol, walking to the monuments. There's a ton to see.
Yeah, and last time we did a night... tour of all monuments, and that was really cool. It was maybe a little cold. We had done it at probably not the best time of the year. I think it was January. But we took a trolley, and we did all the monuments at night, which was really beautiful, and the girls liked that too. So we got to see every monument, but also seeing it at night brought like a new perspective as well. Really pretty.
It's such a great city. So if you've never been to D.C., it's well worth the trip. Honestly, though... While we're on our sales pitch for Museum of the Bible, it's worth it just to go to Museum of the Bible. I mean, if you go there and do nothing else, you can walk by the other stuff and just go straight to the Museum of the Bible. It is that great of an experience that it is worth wherever you're traveling from, if you're traveling coast to coast or even overseas. I mean, it is so spectacular. And it, you know, the Bible as believers, you know, shapes who we are. I mean, it shapes everything for our faith. And it gives you a perspective of almost just like stepping back from the Bible and understanding the history, the context, the impact. It's really, it's something special. I mean, it's really indescribable in many ways. So, I'm not trying to sell you, just sharing our experience, but we knew it was going to be good, but I think it surpassed all expectations.
Yeah. And my word was engaging because I feel like it really engaged all of the senses. It was sight. It was feel. It was emotional in a lot of parts. We saw the New Testament video, which was really, really nicely done. And so it's a way to experience the Bible that you've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And they do it so well. I feel like we get kind of, I don't know if we're jaded or whatever the word is, by we experience a lot of things. We experience Disney World and amazing museums and all sorts of things. And so when you go see the Bible done in this way with excellence and using this cutting edge technology and all that, it just helps you experience it in a new way that makes it come alive even more. Even though I felt like, you know, I've had a relationship with God and with the Bible my whole life, this is a new way to experience it, and it just kind of opened your eyes up to new things and new ways of seeing it and experiencing it.
Yeah, it really is spectacular. It's we can't recommend it enough. So I want to thank Jeremy Burton and the team at Museum of the Bible for inviting us out for this preview.
They did a great job.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So we thank you guys for hosting our family, and really for the work you're doing, the ministry, the work you're doing. The Museum of the Bible is going to impact so many lives and so many people. It's going to be used as a discipleship tool for Christians. I think it's going to be used for an evangelism tool for those that don't know Jesus yet.
Yeah, I think people are going to go into it for a history lesson and come out with a lot more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we love Museum of the Bible. Katie, thank you for stepping out of your comfort zone and joining this podcast and having this conversation.
Yep. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.